so much for having me back, because, you know, it's one thing to have a pastor come and preach one time, but if you have them back, that's usually a good sign. And so it is certainly an honor and a privilege to be here. If you have your copy of God's Word, I want you to open up to 1 Kings chapter number 17. And again, just so thankful for Pastor Dave and Stacy and their ministry. Maybe you wouldn't hear the first time. Stacy was one of my first youth at our church there in Calvary. And so it's been a blessing to see their journey. And looks like Micah made it back safely. He wanted to come with me this morning. So he is my middle. I've got a 9-year-old girl and a 5-year-old little boy. And so Mike is excited. He turned 7 in 11 days, I think it is. He's excited that you guys have VBS on his birthday. That's a big deal to him. And so y'all pray for us. We start VBS tonight at our church at Calvary, and run through this week. And so obviously all three of my kids are very excited about being a part of that. And so again, you're going to have to bear with me for a few minutes, because it's, a lot of times I like to preach and get straight into the text because that's the important stuff. But I need to kind of set us up and get us there today. And so if you just find your way in 1 Kings chapter number 18, I promise you, here in just a moment, we're going to get into the text and we're going to let the text speak for itself. But I heard recently about a story about a young man who wanted to do a cross-country hike. He wanted to hike right across the country, something that just always been on his mind and heart. He had never done that before. And so he said, you know, hey, that's something I want to do. I want to do this at least once in my life. I might as well do it now while I'm young. And so once he began to tell people about his desires to hike across the country, somebody told him about an elderly man that lived not too far down the road from where he lived. And they told the young boy, said, this elderly man, years ago, he made the very same hike that you're wanting to hike across the country. And so obviously the young boy perked up and he was like, well, I want to go learn from this guy. I've got some questions to ask. And so he picked a Saturday morning, went over, knocked on the front door of this elderly man, told him who he was and what he wanted. Elderly man welcomed him right on in and said, son, come on in and have a seat. And so the young boy said, you know, what do I need to know to be able to make this trip across the country? What do I need to know? And so the young boy got his little pen and paper, and the elderly man said, well, there's just a few things that you need to know. He said, the first one that you need to know is that you need to pack light. It's like, only pack your essentials. He said, if you don't need it, you don't need to take it. But you need to take the stuff that you have to have, but don't take any more than that. He said, the second thing is you want to start where it's warm. You want to start at the warmest place first. Not only because it's warm, but also because that's the hardest place of your journey. So you want to start at the hardest place of your journey as well. So this young boy is writing these notes down and taking all of this in. And then suddenly the elderly man gets up and walks out of the room. And he comes back into a room with an old-fashioned water canteen. And he began to talk about this water canteen and began to tell this young man, he said, you're going to need this. He said, this is the very thing that saved my life going across the country. He said, and so obviously the young boy's sitting there writing, getting water canteen. And so as the young boy went to leave the home, the elderly man took the water canteen and threw it to the young boy and said, here, you take mine. The young boy couldn't believe it. Literally, he could not believe that this elderly man was giving him the very thing that saved his life, that made him go across the country. And so the young boy went home and he began to find out the essentials from the non-essentials. And he waited until just the right time of the year to be able to go. And he began, a couple of months later, he began his journey. So as he began on the first day of the journey, he had this water canteen strapped around him. And obviously it started getting a little warm that morning because he started in the hottest place first and at the hardest place first, and he started hiking a little bit. So he began to shed some of his coat and his shirt, and he hung them on the water canteen. It's like, oh, this is handy. That old man was right. You know, this water can't seem to hang your clothes on it, and it makes them easier for you to hike on this journey. So then come about lunchtime, began to want to find a good place to take a break. And so he began to unpack his lunch food, and he looked down at his canteen, and he said, I'll sit on this. And so he sat on it while it was his lunchtime. He said, oh, man was right. He's like, this water canteen comes in handy. Then shortly after lunch, he began to hike a little bit longer, and then he went to afternoon break, and he got a little bit bored during his afternoon break. And so he began to pick up rocks, and he began to hit them with this water canteen. And it made life that was a little bit boring not so boring. And this young man said, man, that man was right. This is the thing to bring on this trip. So then it began to get nighttime, and he began to want to find himself a place to lay down. As he began to lay down, he said, well, this water canteen, this is going to be great. So he laid it down, and he used it as a pillow that night. And again, he just praised the elderly man. He was like, man, this elderly man was so right about this water canteen. I've been able to sit on it. I've been able to hang my clothes on it. I've been able to use it as a baseball bat. I've been able to use it as a pillow. And so he did that for a day or two, and then he began to get hot, and he began to get tired. And he began to get weary. So he began to shed stuff that he didn't need anymore. And one of the first things that he shed was that water canteen. He said, well, you know what? I don't really need this. Like, yeah, it's good to sit on. It's good to lay your head on. But I don't really need it. And so he threw it to the side. It wasn't just a few days later that this young boy died of dehydration. Because why? He didn't use the water canteen for the very purpose that it was meant for. His canteen was empty on this whole trip. He never thought that he should fill the water canteen with water and that would be the very thing that saved his life. You know, we could think about that story and we think how silly that may be. But yet I know that even this morning, across churches across America, there are men and women that are sitting in churches. There's even churches themselves. They're on the outside, they look good. On the outside, we come in with our Sunday morning smile and, hey, how are you? You know, we're good. But on the inside, a lot of times, we're empty. We're empty of the life and the things that God has intended for us to have. And so as we begin here in just a moment to talk about the life of Elijah, a great man of God that maybe you know a lot of stories about. I want to show you a different side of Elijah. A side of Elijah that maybe we haven't spent much time on. A side of Elijah that often, one, it's either going to encourage us this morning as we're here together, or it's going to challenge us together. And so just by way of introduction, if you're taking notes, one of the first things that I want you to notice about Elijah is his past experiences. We're not going to take time to read them, but if you just flip over even to chapter number 17 and you begin to see how God uses Elijah in some really marvelous ways. God parts Elijah down by the brook, by the water stream, and there by this water stream, God provides for Elijah's every need. He provides for the water that he needs, and he has a raven that flies in each day and provides for the food that he needs. I mean, just what a miraculous thing that is for Elijah, a man of God, to be provided for by God himself in a place that nobody else is. And then shortly after that Elijah is used by God to raise a widow's son back to life. Again, just another marvelous miracle, a past experience in Elijah's life that he might think about and be like, man, God really showed up. Not only did he show up down by the brook and the raven, man, I remember when he allowed me to raise that widow's son from the dead. What a scene that must have been to go from a funeral to a resurrection. The celebration that a mom would have like that her only son would be raised from the dead. And again, so these are a part of Elijah's past experiences. And then you flip over to chapter number 18 where maybe Elijah's biggest past experience that you and I may know about is the showdown on the mountaintop. Is the showdown as he begins to call out the false worshipers of Baal. And he says, hey, you want to come You want to see who's God's going to show up on this mountaintop? So if you find with me there in chapter number 18, and I'll read in verse number 21, just one verse. Encourage you to keep your Bible open. We're going to read several more. But here Elijah is on the mountaintop against these false prophets, this showdown. Verse 21 says this, Elijah came near to all the people, and he said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. And if Baal is God, follow him. And then Elijah goes into a prayer in verse number 37. And his prayer is this to God. He says, answer me, O Lord, answer me, that these people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. And again, Elijah, in just this one verse of this prayer, Elijah shows that he has a heart for people, that he wants to see the people changed. And then if you keep reading, it's verse number 38, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. What a marvelous thing that must have took place on this mountaintop. Bible teaches us there's over 400 men, worshipers of Baal, and here Elijah was, seemingly the only man that's standing for God against these men that were against God. And so again, this just kind of plays into some of Elijah's past experiences. Yet in spite of being a man of God, in spite of being provided for by God, in spite of being a man that was called by God to do God's work, in spite of a man that God used to do miracles, and if you know anything about the life of Elijah, it seemed that him and God had this very interesting and close prayer life. That it seemed like that when Elijah spoke, God listened. When God spoke, Elijah listened. But yet, in spite of all that, in spite of all the miracles that were done in and around Elijah's life, we're about to see a different side of Elijah's life, a different side of his story. And maybe you'll think back like the way that I did. You know, sometimes our experiences in life and our experiences with God will only carry us so far. Maybe you can reflect back to the day that maybe you said, I do, to your loved one. And then 3 days later, you were upset about who didn't put the toilet seat up or down. That happens. Maybe you were excited about bringing your little bundle of joy home. And I'm not talking about your dog. I'm talking about your baby. And then 5 years later, you and that sweet little bundle of joy is having an argument over something really ridiculous. Maybe it's because they didn't want the food that you cooked for them. Again, it's the past experiences will only take us so far. Maybe it's for your job. Maybe you can reflect back to the first day on your job, how excited you were to start, how good things were going, and now you're counting down the days of retirement because you can't wait. Why? Because those experiences that we have will only carry us so far. You see, that's throughout the pages of Scripture. We see over and over men and women of God having these incredible experiences with God, yet those experiences only carry them so far. I think back to the life of David. David, who gained an incredible victory over the giants, but it was just years later that he began to commit adultery with Bathsheba. What about Noah, who saved his entire family and human race by building an ark, though it never rained? But yet, shortly after the ark settled, his family was in chaos and he was in a drunken rage. Maybe it was Peter, the disciple, that said, Lord, I will die for you. Yet only to deny Jesus 3 times to a teenage girl. Maybe it was all the disciples who had been called into the ministry, who were willing to change the world. But yet, shortly after Jesus died on the cross, Jesus finds them back in the boats, fishing, going back to their old life. Why? Because our experiences will only carry us so far. Maybe it was for you. Maybe you can reflect back to the day that God saved your life and saved you. Maybe it was a prayer that you prayed for many, many years and God answered that prayer. Maybe it was something miraculous that happened here at the church that you can look back on and say, you know what, God really showed up in that moment, in that season of life. Maybe there was some darkness in your life, some trials that you were going through and that you didn't know how you were going to make them out of. But yet God provided for you in every single way. And those things are good, and those things are things that we should always reflect back on and cherish. But eventually those experiences will turn into a memory. They'll fade into a background, not to be lost and to be forgotten. But yet those experiences will only carry us so far. I want to show you not only how Elijah's past experiences affected him or didn't necessarily, but also I want to show you how his current emotions played in some of the decisions that he made. Would you flip over in chapter number 19, verse number 3? Just going to look at a few verses here of Elijah in his current state after leaving the mountaintop of doing this incredible miracle of God and God just raining fire down from heaven. Yet in verse number 3, here's where we find Elijah. And he was afraid and rose and ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father's." Wow, what a transition. From being a man of God that provided for and showing up and all these things to now Elijah's literally, we find him alone, scared, and suicidal. He's saying, "God, it's just better that you would just even take my life." Yet we see that his emotions and our emotions will mislead us sometimes. You see, for us, our emotions a lot of times play out in our day-to-day life, and maybe there's somebody here today that maybe you've been in a season of life like Elijah is, a dark season, a place where you feel like you're all alone. But also in the minor things of life, sometimes our emotions will play an effect on us. One of the emotions that play effect on me is when I go outside and work and I get hot and then I get hungry and then dinner's a little bit later than, you know, maybe I think it should be. I transition from being hungry to hangry. Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. I allow my emotions in the moment to begin to change things. Maybe it's a worn out mom or a worn out grandmother who's been working diligently to figure out food and take care of the clothes, only to leave for a child or a grandchild to leave some clothes or something laying in the floor. And then that young mom's emotions will come up and they'll begin to yell or maybe get on the young child of, "Hey, you need to pick up after yourself. Why can you not just pick up after yourself?" Why? Because our emotions will lead us. Maybe sometimes it's in the church. Maybe things in the church can be going really well. Negative Nancy is good and Deacon Dan and everything's good. But then all of a sudden something begins to change. Something's a little bit different than maybe it was before. And then we'll begin to see people's emotions begin to determine their decisions. You don't need to tell me. You don't need for me to tell you for you to already realize that it's bad to make decisions based on our emotions. That's a lot of what we see in the world that we live in today, is that they want to neglect the truth of God for what? Their emotions and their feelings. But yet that's kind of where Elijah was. Maybe Elijah was maybe pleading out like maybe some people in here, or maybe some people in our life saying, "God, how did we get here? Like, I know that I said yes and I do and I said I'd follow you, but God, this isn't the marriage that I planned. This isn't the church, the direction that I thought the church would go. God, I know I dedicated my children to you. But this isn't what I signed up for. They're much worse than I ever thought they might would be." Yet our emotions will begin to drive us to question God and God's will for our life. That's what Elijah's doing. He's beginning to question God and say, God, how did I get here? God, is it better for you? Are you sure you didn't make a mistake, God? Would you just maybe take my life from me? Because I'm better off not even being here because I'm no better than my father's. You see, when Elijah's experiences couldn't sustain him, he allowed his emotions to control his decisions. And when our experiences don't sustain us and our emotions begin to control us, we find ourselves empty. That's where Elijah is this morning. Much like that water canteen is no good being empty. Now, I'm not talking about a lost person. I'm not talking about somebody that doesn't know God. They're dead without Jesus. But this is a man of God. Maybe I'm talking here today to a man or a woman of God that you walk into the room and yes, everything looks picture perfect on the outside, but on the inside, you're maybe even questioning. God, what's my purpose in life? I'm in a different stage, I never thought I'd be here. This is kind of Elijah. Elijah went from being down by the brook where God provided for his every need to where did the text say that he was now? He's out in the wilderness, all alone, isolated. He feels like the world's just caving in on him. He's removed from the realities of ministry. He's removed from God's will for his life. He's removed from God's purpose for his life. And he's no longer effective for God's kingdom. Maybe that's somebody in the room here today. Maybe for you, it wasn't a ministry. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe for you, it's not a marriage. Maybe it's being that godly mom or that godly dad or a grandparent that God desires for you to be. Or maybe it's being an active part of the church. So what do we do if our past experiences, they won't sustain us and our emotions begin to control us? Well, what do we do? This is my favorite part of this text and my favorite part of this story, because if you know anything about Scripture, God never leaves us somewhere. God's always going to provide for us. He's always going to be there for us. And as much as he wants us on the mountaintop, when we're in the valley, guess what? That's where my shepherd is too. And he'll lead us back out. And so in verse number 11, we find to see what God's desire is for Elijah's life. Verse number 11, he says this. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Two simple words there that God calls Elijah. He says, go forth. That may not seem like much. It may be seems almost like a elementary school age lesson. To come forward, to move forward, but yet the first principle that we learn, for maybe if you're in a place that you feel that you're stuck or you know somebody that is, that God's just calling Elijah to move forward. Sometimes our past experiences are great. Sometimes the things that God's done in our church life in the past is awesome. But yes, God often calls us to move forward. Jesus said this way in Luke 9. He said, if anyone puts his hand to a plow and then looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom. In other words, we don't need to continue looking in the rearview mirror oftentimes. Yeah, we've got to move forward. That's what God's calling Elijah to. He's like, come on, son, just pick up yourself and just take one step forward. You've been going backwards. You went from the wilderness to the cave, and now, Elijah, I just need you to move forward. So not only a lot of times do we need to just move forward to get up and go. The second principle is right here in the text, verse number 11. The second part, God told Elijah this. He says, stand on the mountain before the Lord. Second thing that God called Elijah to is to spend time alone with God again. Maybe you're here today and maybe life has done what life does. It's consumed you. It's maybe made you make some decisions that maybe you shouldn't have. Maybe there are some times that you used to be more on fire for the Lord, or you used to spend more time for the Lord. Maybe God's calling you here today, just come out and spend more time with me. I mean, that's what he's calling Elijah to. He's saying, Elijah, would you just come out and spend some quiet time with me? When was the last time for you that you just maybe found a quiet place on your back porch, in a closet or a bedroom, and it was just you and God. Maybe for minutes, maybe for hours, maybe days at a time that you just spent time alone with God. You see, that's what Elijah happens. Elijah, we don't have time to go and unpack the text. But God sends a wind to blow right in front of Elijah, and God wasn't in the wind. Then he sends an earthquake, and he wasn't in the earthquake. And then God sends a fire, and he wasn't in the fire. Verse number 12 teaches us that a gentle whisper, and when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face. Why? Because God was in that gentle whisper. Sometimes we've got to say no to things. We've got to find ourselves in places that you and I can hear the gentle whisper. Sometimes we're looking for God in the big things. We're looking for God in the miracles and on the mountaintops. And God's just saying, hey, I'm just looking for you on one-on-one. I just want you to come and spend time with me. One-on-one, personal time with God. Scientists have went on to discover that the average in our day and time, that the average gigabytes that a person intakes is approximately 74 gigabytes because of our TVs and telephones and iPads and computers and all this. It wasn't just about 500 years ago that 74 gigabytes was the same amount of information that an individual would take in their entire lifetime. Why? Because the world knows. The world spends billions and trillions of dollars targeting our time, targeting our minds, targeting everything that they can to get us to focus on something or someone else other than God. And that's kind of where Elijah was. Elijah began to focus on himself and his pity and the things that God didn't do for him. God just said, come on, son, just come and spend some more time with me. You don't need me to tell you that there's a war out there for our minds. There's a war out there for our attention. The way things have progressed, even the last 100 years, whether it be the educational system, our devotion to sports and hobbies, our medicine, our values, even our family structures have all changed in the last 100 years. But yet, we think that they're for the better, but yet anxiety is higher than it's ever been. Depression is higher than it's ever been. Suicide is higher than it's ever been. Kids are more confused than they've ever been. And families are falling apart at record paces. So what do we need? Maybe we need to stop being so consumed by the things of the world. Maybe we need to become more consumed by the things of God. And maybe by God himself. Just saying, God, I want to spend some more time with you. The more time that you and I are in the presence of the Lord, hearing from him, the better our lives are. I mean, we know that. But yet, why is it so hard for us to spend time alone with God? The better our marriages are, the better our family situations are, the better our church is, the more that we spend time with God. The third thing that maybe if we're writing notes, not only should we move on and move forward, but we should get along with God. And then the third thing is we should return to our calling. God tells Elijah in verse number 15, he says, the Lord said to him, go and to return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. God's simply saying, God, Elijah, you got to move. You got to go back. You got to go back to where I previously were using you, where I previously had called you to. In other words, Elijah, get up, put your bootstraps on, and let's go back to the assignment that I gave you. So a lot of times people are looking for the next assignment in our Christian walk. Maybe our next assignment is to complete the last assignment that God gave us. Maybe that's, again, being a parent, being a husband or a wife. God's not going to give us another assignment if we haven't completed the previous assignment. Maybe in your own time you can go and read Psalm 46. A lot of people speculate that Elijah is the one that maybe penned Psalm 46. I'm going to probably go on record to say I believe that Elijah was the one that penned Psalm 46. And if you read it in light of everything that we just talked about, it doesn't seem that anybody else could pen the words of Psalm 46. Just listen to me. It says, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Sounds just like Elijah. Therefore, we will not fear. And this sounds like Elijah after all that he's gone through, returning to his last assignment. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, earthquakes, and though the earth should slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake as its swelling pride, Selah. And then if you skip down to verse number 10, you're welcome to go read the rest of that. But verse number 10, I think Elijah penned these words. After you talked about wars and things that were happening, he says, cease striving and know that I'm God. I think Elijah would have us here this morning to maybe encourage somebody or challenge somebody, or maybe a message that you could walk out of here with, that maybe there's a coworker in your life, a family member in your life that's really struggling with life. And they're doing everything that they can to fix things, everything that they can to make things better. Elijah, after this, all this sabbatical and situations, he says, cease striving and know that I'm God. In other words, be still and know that I'm God. A lot of times we're human. We like to take things into our own hands. I don't know if I shared this story with you last time that I was here. If I did, I think it's worth repeating. But Dr. Adrian Rogers was meeting with a missionary from Romania. And the missionary, they were having this conversation, and the missionary was saying that there's not really a word in Romania for commitment. You know, we always, you know, come and commit your life to Jesus or recommit. And so Dr. Adrian Rogers asked this missionary, so what do you mean there's no word for commitment? And the missionary, here's what he said. He said, you can make a commitment to pray and read the Bible, give money, be faithful in attendance, to serve, and to love others, but you are still in control. He said, with surrender, which is what Elijah is saying, cease and be still, to know that I'm God. With surrender, we give our wants, our desires, our dreams, and surrender it all to Jesus. We let him replace them with his desires for us, his goals for our life, his goals for our church. In other words, we surrender our rights to him. Why? Because God can fight for us. God fought for Elijah here. God led Elijah in every way possible. And Elijah goes on and has a fruitful ministry in life. You go and read throughout Scripture. God was always there. He was there with David, with Goliath. He was in the lion's den with Daniel. He was on the cross with Jesus. God, he desires to fight for you and I. He desires to lead us from a place of emptiness to a place that you and I could be fruitful, that we could serve with joy and love once again. But the question is this: will we surrender to him? It's the hardest thing, that hardest concept that we'll ever have in the Christian church. It's not to commit to him, but to surrender to him. Say, God, this is your life. Do what as you please. And this is the place that Elijah was brought to, that he was at the end of himself, that he wanted his life to no longer exist. And until we bring ourselves to the end of ourselves, it's hard to put our hands into a God that loves us and cares for us. Although that seems like it would be easy, we still have our human desires and wants and needs, and the way that, and we think that we know how things should play out. But yet God's maybe calling somebody here today and saying, just surrender. Surrender to me. Then maybe you've been running on empty. And God's brought me here to encourage you, to challenge you, to maybe just to move forward, to begin to spend more time alone with God and allow God to use you once again.